And turn to John chapter 4. Come on, Ayla. All right. John chapter 4 and verse 43. John 4, 43. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence. He was departing from Samaria, where he had met the woman at the well, and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful, wonderful story of your love, of your graciousness, of your mercy and power in healing this man's son from afar and bringing him to faith and his whole house in Christ. Lord, we have many loved ones who still need the Lord, and we pray that they would come to faith in Christ as well. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be here today to worship you for who you are, for your love and your power and your grace toward us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The Gospel of John is about faith. It's all about believing. Believing in who? In Jesus Christ. That's an important part of who you're believing in. The gospel, the good news of the Bible, is the redemption of mankind by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The promised seed of the woman, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This was clearly John the Apostle's mission in writing the Gospel of John. He said so here near the end of the book in John 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that is, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life, that is, everlasting life, through his name. John spells it out right there. This is why I wrote this book, that ye might what? Believe in Jesus Christ. In John 1:12, we read, But as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John is very consistent throughout his entire book. This is all about believing, trusting in the person, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, who died on a cross, who rose again from the dead to save us from our sins. And if you will receive him by faith, he will give you something nobody else can. And that is everlasting life. This was the ultimate end of John the Baptist's ministry. We read a good bit about him in the opening chapters of John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, that is the light, that is Jesus, might believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is the testimony of the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. This was the purpose of Jesus' first miracle, which it is said, upon which it is said his disciples believed. John 2:11. That's the water to wine in Cana. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples what? Believed on him. This was the purpose of his expulsion of the merchants from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and the miracles he performed following. John 2:22-23. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the first day, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. This was the clear purpose of his conversation in John 3 with a man named what? Nicodemus. John 3:16, you know well. I won't put it on the screen. Most of you know well. For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. For he that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you catch a pattern in the book of John? Believe, believe, believe. You must believe. If you don't believe, then you remain lost. This was the purpose of Jesus' journey through Samaria, and so we see many there believe, John 4:41-42. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. As there was revival in Samaria. This is once again his promise in Galilee, despite the mixed welcome he receives there, because it is his home country. It is, as it mentioned in verse 44, Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country, particularly in his own what? In his own town. It wasn't that he wasn't welcome in Galilee. There were groups that followed him from town to town and out into the countryside and all over the place. But there was one particular place that he was not particularly welcome, and that was his own town of Nazareth. Later we will see how that when he identified himself there as the Messiah, they responded with violence and an intent to kill him. But he was welcome among many places in Galilee. The important point again being their faith, or lack of it, in Nazareth. Some in Galilee outright rejected him, but most displayed some interest, though often very shallow faith, which constantly demanded miracles to keep their interest. Notice, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but notice here in verse 48, when the nobleman said to Jesus, would you come and heal my son? Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. That was the pattern of the people in Galilee. That was the pattern of the Jews in particular. He needed to keep doing miracles in order for them to keep interested in who he was and believing. The man responds, interesting enough, in verse 49. The nobleman said, "Sir, come down here, my child died." In other words, the nobleman's saying, "This isn't about that. I just have a son that's going to die, and that's all I'm interested in right now is saving my wife, is saving my son. I don't need you to prove anything. I just want my son to be healed." I would like to take the opportunity in this miracle recorded by John to point out the steps which led to the saving faith in the life of the nobleman and saving faith versus fair weather faith demonstrated by the masses, which is still true to some degree in our world today, even in churches. Number one, the nobleman had a need, and so what did he do? He came to Jesus. He came to the right person. He did the right thing. The nobleman was likely a servant of Herod Antipas, who was the son of Herod the Great, who was given the governorship of the area of Galilee. The nobleman would have been a man of influence. He would have been a man of power and wealth. Yet even people of wealth and power still need who? Still need Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how wealthy, how powerful, how famous you are. We all need Jesus. Solomon points out the troubles in life, death in particular, comes to all, rich and poor alike. If you want to look on the screen, all things come alike to all men. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is also is the sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, but there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of man is full of evil and madness in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So without Christ, this is what we have to look forward to. Death. And sadly, there's a lot of people out there that's all they think there is. They live, they what? They live, they die. But the point of Solomon here is not just that we all die, but it's all the same for all. All of us face hardship, all of us face illnesses and pain, and all of us one day will face at least physical death. But praise the Lord, we don't have to see spiritual death or eternal death if we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. This man's son was sick and nigh unto what? Death. All the money in the world could not remedy his son's physical illness. It is at times like these when the richest and most powerful men can be brought to their knees. Indeed, this was the case. This man came to Jesus desperate, pleading. In verse 47, it says that he besought him. That means he was desperate. He was pleading. He was begging with Christ because he knew his son was about to die. At that point in time, that was just about all that mattered to that man. And he was powerless to do anything about it. Hearing that Jesus was in Cana, he traveled across the street. He traveled across town. No, he traveled from Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee, to Cana, which is in the midst of the Valley of Jezreel. It is a journey of 16 to 20 miles. Now, it may be that some of you drove 16 to 20 miles to get here to church. I know most of you didn't. I suspect Pedro and, y'all probably did more than that to get here this morning. But still, 16 to 20 miles, even in Pinellas County, 30 minutes. 16 to 20 miles here, on foot or on the back of a donkey, a couple days. He had traveled a long distance to see Jesus. He was a desperate man, desperately in need, and was reaching out to someone that he had been told could help him. He was serious. However, at the onset, his need was not so much spiritual, but physical and emotional. And his faith is maybe a bit shallow and incomplete, but we will see how that changes after he meets who? After he meets Jesus. Before anybody puts their faith in Christ, they must first realize that they need who? That they need Jesus. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is what? Is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus himself later said that he had come not to call the righteous, but what? Sinners to repentance. Before you come to Christ for salvation, you must have a reason. What is your reason? Well, the reason should be I'm a sinner. Without Jesus, I'm going to spend an eternity in a place called hell or the lake of fire. I am bound in sin, and I want to be free. I want everlasting life. I want forgiveness for the burden of guilt that is destroying me. Jesus can do all of those things, but first you must come to who? You must come to Jesus. You must realize there's something you need. Maybe at first you may not understand all that you need. When young people come at an invitation, one of the first things I ask them is, what do you want to be saved from? Because it is from sin and sin's penalty that we need to be saved. And sometimes they don't quite understand that yet. And they need to. They need to. And we need to. We're sinners who need a Savior. This man knew he needed something. He needed help with his son. And he came to Jesus. Number two, Jesus orders the man to accept his word. Verse 48, and then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man what? Believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Jesus said unto the man, no, I'm not coming. And the man said, what? You're not? Just believe. He's healed. Jesus doesn't have to be standing next to you. He doesn't have to hit you on top of the head. Jesus can answer prayers from the other side of the world. Jesus can save souls from the throne of heaven. That is why he is there, is to hear our prayers, to save our souls, to answer our needs, to help those with whom we intercede as he intercedes for us. He says simply to the man, believe my word. And the man did. And he went his way. True faith is not the result of seeing a grand demonstration of God's power, or being convinced by tedious logical arguments or clever proofs. But it is the work of God in the heart of man by the Word and by the Spirit of God. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What does Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So Jesus demanded that the man not wait to see another miracle or a sign, but to trust in the word of who? In the words of Jesus Christ. This man was asked to believe in Jesus not as a result of the continual demonstration of his power by what? By sight, but the declaration of his words by faith. That which God is asking of us today, that we too trust in his words, in his word, in his power, in his person, and not in grand demonstrations. There's a lot of grand demonstrations already recorded in here. What else do we need? There was a grand demonstration in my life. It happened when I was 9 years old, when I chose to believe in the words of Jesus and in the person of Jesus Christ and accept him as my Savior, and he changed my heart. And he continues to. Every day. Despite myself, he hasn't given up on me yet. And he will do the same for you. He keeps his word. But you must what? What's John say? You must believe. You must trust in him and his word. Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Sometimes, again, we get the cart before the horse. Lord, show me the miracle and I'll believe. Jesus says, you believe and I'll show you the what? And I'll show you the miracle. And the miracle that I sang about a moment ago, it took a miracle, was not about the stars in place and all of that, but it was when he saved my what? It saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole. It took a miracle of love and grace. And Jesus is not just about saving this child from physical death. He's about saving this man and his family from eternal death. And that's why Jesus chose to do it the way he did. It is this faith that we exercise when we go to our Lord in prayer. He does not need to be physically nearby to answer our prayers. He is able to hear them and to answer them from the other side of the world. We are told that the man believed Jesus' word, and so he headed home to see his son. He believed the words of Christ concerning his son, but I do not believe that he had yet to put his trust and faith in the person of Christ until the end of our story. But this was a vital step. He believed the words of Jesus, and he headed home. And he was a little bit astonished and greatly excited when the servants came to meet him on his trip home to tell him that his son was alive. Verse 51, "And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth." Finally, we see Jesus saves his soul. We see the nobleman came to Jesus. We see the beginnings of his faith as Jesus orders him to trust his words. And finally, we see the saving of his soul as we read at the end of verse 53, "And himself believed, and his whole house." Now, having received the reward of his faith in Christ's words to the saving of the life of his son, he put his faith in Christ to restore his soul as the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. He first came to Jesus. He second of all believed Jesus when he said he would heal his son. And thirdly, he put his faith in Jesus as his Messiah and the Savior. And that's when everything totally changed for the nobleman. And that's when it changes for us, when we choose to put our faith in the person who said the words, not just to fix our relationship with somebody, not just to help us get a job that we need and get us out of financial crisis, not to get rid of an addiction that's in our life that is that's making life extremely difficult, but to be our Savior. Not just to do a thing, but to be the Son of God who gives life to all who come to Him. And that seems to be the condition of this man in verse 51 when it says, and himself believed more than just that his son would be healed, but believed that Jesus is the Savior and the Messiah. He first believed in the promise of Jesus to the saving of his son, and then he put his faith and trust in the person of Christ to redeem his soul. When I say, do you know Jesus? I'm not asking, do you know about Jesus? I'm asking, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted in Him to save your soul? To do what no one else can do? To change your eternity? Have you entrusted Him with your soul? Don't entrust your soul to me. I can't change. Don't entrust it to some author who wrote a book in Barnes & Noble. Don't entrust it to somebody you see on the TV set. You need to trust who? You need to trust Jesus. And you don't need to just trust Him to heal you of your whatever your particular ailment of is or fix whatever problem you have. There is one overall problem that we need fixed, and that is we're sinners who need a Savior. And we need to trust in Jesus to do that. So we must believe in the promises of the Word of God and then put our faith in the person of the Son of God to save our soul. Sadly, many people, like the majority of the Jews, will only believe the promises of God if they receive signs from Him. They await proof, but they are those who walk by sight. And if they're waiting on proof, then they'll never get it. Because you must put your what? Faith. You must put your faith in Christ. The Jews, after Jesus did 1,000 signs, they still said, give us what? One more. After somebody witnesses to another and shares with them 100 verses and many logical reasons to receive Christ and be saved, and they only want one, just one more. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. Jesus created the world. Jesus took on human flesh. Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus ascended back to heaven. Jesus saved and has saved millions, including this one. You just have to watch. You just have to believe. Some require a sign. Others, sadly, will profess faith in the promises of God's Word, but will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. You must do both. You must trust in the author of the word to forgive your sin and save your soul. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. I did that when I was 9. And I call on him for many other things today, and praise the Lord, he hears me. But it was when I was 9 years old, I called on him to save my soul, and he did a miracle. He saved me. And many of you have that same testimony. But maybe if you're here today and you don't have that testimony, you can make that your testimony when? Now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week. Just believe in Jesus. Put your trust in him. He will save your soul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this that you recorded for our benefit today, that we might see how this nobleman came to faith in Christ and how you and your grace and mercy, love and power changed him forever. Heard his prayer, his plea. Lord, we pray for the families that we know, friends we know, co-workers, maybe one here today that is yet to receive Christ as Savior. We pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they would come as we sing this hymn of invitation today, that we might have the opportunity to share with them how they might be saved and know it before they leave this place today. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.